And it seems like in those tougher times, we need more and more praise and worship, don't we? And there have been some tough times recently. Father David alluded to that last week. You know, he'd said that I had had a bad week, you know. And yes, last Sunday I came in the office I was grumbling to them. Some people might use a different word, but I was grumbling to them about my troubles. But, you know, in the midst of that, I realized that everybody's going through difficult times right now. And our times still pale in comparison to the people of the Bahamas, don't Amen. They? There was nothing to complain about compared to that. Yet, despite all of that, going through my week last week, and this week hadn't been a whole lot better, but going through all of that, it has been a little better. I got this image of juggling, that I was juggling and trying to juggle lots of things going on. And we're going to have some visual aids. So. That's what I felt like I was juggling chainsaws. Do you know what I'm feeling? Do you understand what I'm talking? Can you put yourself in that picture? You know, there are crazy people out there who juggle chainsaws that are running, you know. And this is a comedian, I don't know his name, but he goes around doing this. And looks like he has all his fingers so far. But that's what it felt like. Do you know what I mean? And it was like I was going through the week. Things were getting worse and worse, and I was trying to juggle and keep these chainsaws in the air, and I felt like I was going to drop one. That one of them was about to go. Do you know what I mean? Yes. And it seemed like last week the enemy was working overtime. And you know, it wasn't just us. We were all having bad weeks then, weren't we? But yet it was also the same time that Hurricane Dorian came through and made life terrible for so many along the whole East Coast and throughout the Caribbean, right? The enemy was working overtime. And through all of this, I was thinking, I just hope you catch the one I'm about to drop, Lord. I just hope you catch it. And so then I started thinking about the Exodus passage for today. And yes, it actually does relate, okay? And I want to share about that a little bit. You heard that passage just a minute ago about the children of Israel and Aaron, specifically. And, you know, I wonder if that's what Aaron felt like while he was sitting in the midst of the camp there with the Israelites, that he was trying to juggle chainsaws, you know what I mean? If he'd known what chainsaws were, that is. And, you know, I can think about Moses. He probably felt like he was juggling chainsaws constantly, you know? But in this passage, we hear that Aaron, you know, is confronted with the people, and they're like, you know, we don't know where this Moses guy has gone. You understand, he's been gone now for weeks. 40 days, weeks. They could easily have thought, he's dead, he's gone, he's not coming back. But the people were starting to get out of control, and here's Aaron, and they're looking to him, and he's like, let me think here. And, you know, in that moment right then, because we think, oh, Aaron, you wuss, what are you doing, you know? But confronted with all of those people, and especially Dathan, you know, Edward G. Robinson, I mean, you know, and all these Israelites demanding that he do something and do these things for them, that he had a weak moment. He couldn't juggle all the chainsaws that were going on right now, and he dropped one of them. I mean, this is Aaron we're talking about. Aaron, you know, who knew the Lord, who had heard the Lord himself, who had seen the miraculous signs that occurred in Egypt, but also specifically through Moses standing in front of Pharaoh, who had seen Moses' staff turn into a snake and then back again. Probably didn't want to touch it much after that. Who had seen all of those things. This same Aaron, this mighty man of God, this spokesman of the Lord, dropped a chainsaw and said, "Hear your gods, O Israel." You know, probably when he said, "We'll go collect all of the earrings and the gold and everything like that," he was probably stalling them. You know, they're not going to do it. You know, they like their gold. And then it came back and like, whoa, what am I going to do now? And this guy made a golden calf. Does that look like God? No. And he's the one who led them into this. God. I mean, what was he thinking? And then we have the similar story in the epistle today. Paul is writing to his young protege, Timothy. You know, he's mentoring him. And Paul talks about his own straying. He says, I was a blasphemer, the greatest there ever was, as a matter of fact. And he talks about that as well. He says, even though I was a blasphemer and persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Talking about some failures here. Talking about some dropping chainsaws here. Okay. And then next we hear in the gospel that Jesus is teaching about God's love for mankind, in that he would go after everyone who strays. You've all heard the story of the parable of the lost sheep. You know, we know that. It's wonderful. It comes, if you've been in the church for a long time, from long ago. Can I see the next slide? And you might have seen something like this when you were in Sunday school as a kid, you know. A picture of Jesus gently carrying this sheep. Looks like a dumb sheep, doesn't it? But he's carrying the sheep, you know. And we see love and we see compassion there, right? And yet, even though we don't live in a herding society, I mean, I don't know any of you who have any herds right now, you know, but we can, and we don't have our own flocks to go after, you know. Even if we did, they'd all be fenced in, right? But suppose one of them gets away. You're going to go after that one. And this is an image that we can all still, even after 2,000 years, easily identify with. An image of compassion and love. Father Bill, in the beginning, you know, before the service, he asked me, are you going to talk about repentance? And I said, well, I'm going to talk about sheep. You know, and in some ways, it's more about the compassion of love of God, which is brought about through repentance. You understand? It all fits together. And you know, today in churches all over the place, many pastors are going to use this parable, this story, this thing that you see up there on the screen right now, to discuss about its implications for evangelism. You know, how Jesus wants to go and to find and to carry all the lost sheep that are out there, that have never even known him before and who need to know him. This is definitely, certainly, one of Jesus' points in telling them this parable, that each person is important to him. In fact, each person is of ultimate importance to him. Okay, Jesus, you understand, is not just sitting in heaven up there at the right hand of the Father on his throne playing a video game or searching Google or binge watching TV and just every once in a while glancing down in our direction from time to time. Like the shepherd who went out and left all the others to save one, he is out there constantly on our behalf. On behalf of all of those lost sheep, all who have strayed away. In fact, this is his number one priority. It's not his phone and it's not TV. This is his number one priority. And we hear, as Jesus goes on in that parable, talking about the woman who searches for a lost coin, right? And she searches diligently. As a matter of fact, she works harder than ever, cleaning and sweeping the house. And maybe she's already just cleaned and sweeped the house, but she does this again, the entire place, just to find this coin. And when she finds it, she rejoices that she found it. Just like the shepherd, she is overjoyed at having found it. Let me think of the motives regarding that. Well, it's a woman and she had 10 coins and she lost one tenth of what she had. So she's going after that. But in the sheep's case, you know, we think that the shepherd loves the sheep, right? In either case, it all sums up with this. And Jesus says so. He says, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now that sounds to me like someone who's made this his priority. The lost sheep is God's priority. His number one priority. And Jesus is God. You know, because we all stray. Sometimes we do it in spectacular ways. You know, we forsake all our friends and family. We run off with somebody. We yell at our best friends. We impulse buy a new car, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. You know about those spectacular strays that occur sometime, right? You know, in fact, I remember one time I knew this a guy at Three Streams who was a patient. He had bipolar disorder, and he had it so bad that his manic episodes, when that happened, he would go out and impulse buy a new car. Yeah, wow. And he told me that in his lifetime, he had purchased over 150 new cars. Of course, his credit was ruined because, you know, he could never keep any of these cars. He lost them all. And that's a spectacular straying sheep, tell you what. And, of course, that was because of an illness, which got under control, thanks be to God. You know, and then there are small times when we stray as well. Those are spectacular, but there are little things that happen too. Maybe it only happens in your heart or your mind. Maybe you decide not to read your Bible today or not to do the daily prayer, or, you know, we might grumble in our hearts over little inconveniences like me. We don't give people the time they need. Maybe we don't listen. Sometimes we even doubt that God's really there, that he won't catch our falling chainsaws. Those are kind of the little strayings that we do sometimes. They're not spectacular, but they're common. I know I certainly have had those all the time. We all stray in our walk, even after we've come into the shepherd's path and started walking with him. But Jesus is telling us today that we never stray too far. Too far for him to find us. We can never go that far, you understand? There is not a field or a pasture or a mountain so far away that Jesus cannot find you and pick you up and carry you on his shoulders, put you back on the path. This is actually a message that I've preached a few times before, and it's because of people that sometimes, you know, come into the church, come to know the Lord, and then something just spectacularly goes wrong, and they're gone. And I want them to remember that no matter how far you go, you are never too far. And this is an image for that. This is incredibly important for each of us in our own walk. Maybe you're in a good time right now, you know? But maybe in your worst time, you forsake God and all that includes him, the church, etc. You're still never so far away from the Lord. He won't forgive you and receive you back and carry you on his shoulders. Remember that. And remember this image. It could save you. I mean, Aaron made with his own hands a golden calf, a detestable idol to the Lord. Did God destroy him? No. Paul stood and aided the Pharisees as they stoned Saint Stephen, an incredible saint of the Lord, of the church. He put Christians in prison and had them tortured for their faith. God destroy him? No. Those were spectacular fails. Slide, please. There you go. Gotcha. I'm the guy in the red shirt. I
don't understand it either.
Red shirts always die. They fail. The security guards. And you know what? I know that you have all had spectacular fails in your life at some point or another. And you've had some very small fails, too, over time. And finally, you know, that image of juggling chainsaws that I talked about to you, you know, and I was afraid I was going to drop one, you know, in the midst of all of that. You know what? I found out, you know what the Lord showed me in all of that? He's not catching the one I was about to drop. He's not catching that one that I just couldn't manage. It was getting too far away. He's not going to pick up that slack. He's catching me. He was holding me in the palm of his hand while I juggled my chainsaws. Don't believe it? Listen. Though he may stumble, he will not fail, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Psalms and the Song of Songs. He is holding each of us in his hand while we juggle. And I said that we have hard times. There have been people who have harder. Can you pull up another one for me? This is the Bahamas. That's a church. That's the pastor standing in the sanctuary. Yeah, he's not helping me juggle, but he's there holding me while I juggle. He's got me over his shoulder like the sheep. And most importantly, you see, he isn't juggling at all. He's not juggling each one of us. No, his hands are big enough that each one of us is safely, calmly protected in his arms. In every occasion, in every disaster, in every little fail, in every spectacular fail, every triumph, all the time. I think I have one more image of a... Let's see if there's... You should put up the icon. There you go. I like icons. See, this is the image of the shepherd carrying the lost sheep. The sheep represents all those lost souls out in the world that don't know him. And he wants us to work for them. He wants us to work very hard as the shepherd would looking for the sheep. As hard as the woman who cleaned her house to try and find that lost coin. That's how hard he wants us to work for other people, like those of you who did yesterday at the soup kitchen. But the sheep represents each of us too. Not just those lost out there, but for those of us in our fails. Our little fails and our large fails. You see, when our chainsaws are falling, and they do fall from time to time, Jesus is there carrying us. He's always with us, no matter how near you are to him or how far away you are from him. Never forget. Amen.